Hello, this is Information Farm Intelligence Analysis Number 6 with Ed and Bob and Ion. Recorded on June 27th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 7:06 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening. It's our great pleasure to be with you again.
Welcome to another Information Farm Intelligence Analysis with Bob and Ion. Ion will be giving an analysis of two Jay Widener interviews, one with Kerry Cassidy and one with Lance White. First, a fireside chat with the zany mystic Jay Widener interviewed by Lance White in January 2010.
What I'm about to say is going to sound very controversial, but I'll give you a quick breakdown of what's probably going on. The powers that be are ruled by an inner group, but this group apparently knows all of the knowledge of the past. It's maybe as far back as several hundred thousand years.
Okay.
And they live here on Earth, and they have lived here for a long time. But they've lived separately until about 6,000 years ago. They lived separately from us. Just in someplace on Earth in a very nice place. But about 6,000 years ago, the first of many alarms went off.
Mm-hmm.
And these alarms have to do with the advance of what we call the end of the Kali Yuga. Now, the beginning of the Kali Yuga was right near the beginning of the Mayan calendar, 3114 BC. And this is the beginning of cities and writing and kingships and slavery and women as chattel and animal husbandry and farming and wars and walled cities and writing and science and all those things actually began at the beginning of the Kali Yuga.
I like the way he talked about the effect of writing in that, which, you know, modern some science would say moving into left hemisphere. I think Ion would agree that humanity started to shut down when they got into left hemisphere societies affected by writing.
Go back
that
to the first sentence.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to start there, you've got your script. What is the first thing?
Yeah.
We didn't want to stop it too after the third word.
He says, okay, here goes. The powers that be are ruled
The powers that be. Well, guess what the powers? The powers are not bees. Power is. Power doesn't be. And powers that be, if he's referring to the ascension of the human creator, if you go back, what did he say, hundreds of thousands of years?
Yep.
You're going to go back pre-fall. Well, if you go back pre-fall, then yes, they chose to separate themselves from the powers. But guess what, Bob and Ed? That was everybody. Everybody had their power.
Yeah.
Pre-fall. So, yeah, and they were living. The only thing you could say about living separate is they had their own casa that they resided in. And, yes, they, Kiska say, kept to the self. And if he's making reference that some did not separate their power, we say absolutely. But they're your neighbors. They're not foreign dignitaries that lived in a hole, a really nice hole somewhere.
Or they're not on the mountain of Tibet, mountains of Tibet.
Not in the mountains of Tibet, not in the bowels of Shangri-La. They were, although that's a really nice place or a really nice hole. But the point is that this inference that they're making is that there was this others. And the only thing that's others is those that chose to separate themselves from their power. And we've talked to ourselves blue, and folks get it, and then they don't, and then they get it, and then they don't. The whole point of this interaction is so that the human creators can come back into their place of power. And Bob says, Ion, you told us that 9,264,319 times. Well, here's your 20th version. The point is that you chose to separate yourself from your power, and now, because of this power flow of your intention on the rent veil that is thinning, then that thinning is causing a surge of power on this planet. And that surge to this planet is activating spiritual gifts within all human creators. And those that are embracing it and they're getting off the fence and going either hot or cold, one way or the other, they'll be polarized and able to take this new flow of energy. But those that's going to sit on the fence, you're going to get yourself electrocuted. That's the point. And it's perfectly all right with us, and if it's okay with you, we're jiggy with it. But the point of having this interaction is to remind the human creators that you can come back to the place of power that you separated yourself from. And if you can do that, then you are certainly ready for heaven on earth as it is in heaven. They've been trying to tell you this since they started writing and before, but that place is the place that we're getting to. So we have issue right out of the chute from this topical conversation that there's this Ra'i syndrome that caused everybody to be messed up.
Yeah, the powers that be are ruled by an inner group. Well, in the agricultural societies that he calls the Kali Yuga, the beginning of that cycle, it may be true that specialism led to elites and priestcraft.
And animal husbandry and acting as though that's an accelerated point. But let me tell you something, Bob. In the days that he's speaking of, they had cotton on the roadside and cotton on the ditch. They all picked the cotton, but didn't any of them get rich.
Mm. Well, that's you get into the effect of writing and then cities and all that, and that could be considered negative, but Ian says we chose that to experience the novelty of that kind of cultural evolution or change or novelty.
You said enough. That's better than we say it, Bob, but just as a follow-up or a caveat, the contrast that you caused for yourself is what ushered you into this place of receiving and coming back into your place of power. It's almost like you burned your house down so you could consider building a new one.
Right. So I would see as the interview unfolds whether he points out that there could not be any powers that be ruled by an inner group today. That's the message. If you don't believe that, we'll just look at the last gasp of it in Wall Street a couple of years ago. There would not be that inner group right now. So let's see if he, when we get there, see if he addresses today. Because his term Kali Yuga, it could be, the Kali Yuga really started, from your perspective, I've learned, is the printing press, which is 500 years ago.
500 years ago, because before that, though there wasn't any printing press, the folks that he's referring to from a dynamic, you know it's like on Gunsmoke, when they're asking Festus about this reading and writing business, and he's playing, he's like, wait a second, what are you talking about? Marshall Dillon, and he's talking to the doctor, he says, I done told you about this reading and writing. He says, if you learn how to read and you learn how to write, how do you know that what you're reading is right?
When we think of the powers that be, does that mean the authority?
By an inner group, that's to get into authority.
Right. That's right, we know well that authority doesn't have anything to do with anything. Authority is the ones that are fear-based, that their power is going to get overwrought by someone else's bigger power. And that's where your kingdoms and wars and rumors of wars comes in. Are you going to believe the way I believe, or I'm going to whip you? Well, that's authority. Power would let you believe whatever you want to believe. And this powers that be, well, the powers bees anyway, but it's not a sect or a group or a conclave that is to overrun your place of knowing, because it's very intriguing that you get into this dynamic and it's like, then guess what? They know all of history. Well, Lord, suffering cadets, all humans know all history. They know it's a good to keep a change in it. So if you know all versions of all history, you've been to night school. You've got it all because they keep changing it on you. So what's the significance of knowing something from a historical reference that in 5 minutes later is no longer is an unhistorical reference?
Okay. Ed, does he mean by intergroup maybe some aliens or something? Are you familiar with his work?
Well, he's going to go into that pretty soon, and that's where we'll get into the Anunnaki and the Nephilim.
Well,
okay.
we're clearing the path before it got too far down the rabbit hole, because we're going to speak to that, but we're going to speak to it from the point of this separatist realm or coefficient that's being laid out here. You can't get there from now. So now if you're going to jump into a new place and try to use this to validate that, this ipso facto doesn't get it. But just so you know, we're putting that point kind of clear up to here. So now we can flow if y'all don't have any more.
Yeah, the video series, next series says, will be called The Sacred Geometry of Time. Ion mocks the concept of sacred geometry, mocks time, so it's not a very attractive title, unless he means the sacred geometry of time is a total fraud, false premise, and that's the point of the video.
Well, why in the world would you take a false premise and label the book?
And label what?
And label your book that. It's like how to not be a good pedophile. You know, who would be interested in that topical conversation? If you were, you wouldn't want to have that. You'd know how. If you weren't, what would be the subject matter that would draw you to that title? Sacred geometry. Geometry that's sacred, it's so sacred that you don't know what it is. If it's so sacred, you'd know.
I was going to ask you, what, in a quick phrase or two, would you say is wrong with the concept of sacred geometry? You just said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Beg your pardon?
See, we're good for something.
Yeah, something. Okay, but this group apparently knows all the knowledge of the past, and you've addressed that, maybe back at several hundred thousand years, and they live here on Earth, and they have lived here for a long time. Well, what about, there are parallel worlders and St. Germain's and Melchizedek and people like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you would say they're not trying to rule anybody.
Well, you seen any St. Germain's on your ballot since your local elections?
No.
You seen any references from Saint Martin taking over anything? Or have they been arrested by the SEC for making bad stock trades? Have they made the Post or the New York Times or the Hilo Local?
Okay, he says about 6,000 years ago, the first of many alarms went off, and it was the beginning due to the advance of what we call the end of the Kali Yuga. Now, the beginning, well, maybe we didn't get that far. The point is, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the fall of man, by saying 6,000 years ago, that might approximate when the Ark of the Covenant happened, right?
If you had time, yeah.
Yeah, if you had time, but our sense of that many moons ago, it's not way off, so...
Oh, it would be spot on if you want to go by the Hebrew calendar. That would put you, what, 5963, 5982? So, yeah, that would put it...
Yeah, that's 9,000. That's 9,000 years
ago.
That's 9,000 years ago, not 6,000 years ago. So, at the 9,000. No, he's saying it's 6,000 years ago, but your calendar, well, where is that in the non-Hebrew calendar? 6,000, maybe. When is that?
We don't know. We don't have, we don't get it. It don't make any sense because there's not any time. So, the Hebrew calendar is coming up on 6,000 years.
Okay, so he said 6,000 years ago. Let's pretend that's approximate. So he's talking about the Kali Yuga, and he's saying the end of the cycle, the beginning, whatever it is, the age, the beginning of the Kali Yuga. Your words were the beginning of the effect of the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, and if that's that when that was, you know, you could call it brute and snuff too, but I don't know if that's making what it is.
Well, he says the beginning of the Kali Yuga was right near the beginning of the Mayan calendar, 3114 BC. Would you agree that's the beginning of the Mayan calendar?
We don't have time, and we're not here to validate the false premise of time. So if you want to go with that, good. But as sure as we validate it, then you'll turn around and go, no, no, no. It was 2614 AD, BC, CD, and that's when I got an STD, and then we'll mark it. So we've had an STD this long, and you know, and that's why they gave me the penicillin in the rump, just to take care of the clap. So
okay, so as we go through Jay Wiedner's commentary, any references to time we'll ignore and let it pass. We would deny, or Ian would deny, any of those reference points.
There's not any. The only time...
I know.
100,000 years ago that he's talking about, there was no time. More than 6,000 years ago, there was no time. Wasn't recorded. So, to sit here and validate something that they didn't even validate then, if you knew all of history, then bless God, you ought to know that there was no time before that time.
The more interesting way to say it is the calibration of time began with the writing systems that he says begin the Kali Yuga, and that's accurate. It's the writing that starts to enforce the time, but it's not really a major effect until the printing press. That's where people get really stuck in time,
well,
the concept of time.
Not us.
No, not you. Okay, so I'm going to let it run. Here we go.
And all those things actually began at the beginning of the Kali Yuga, not because we were getting better, but because we were getting worse. Okay, but not because we were getting worse because there's something going on. The reason those things came into being is because this group that are human but are different went into action. Because at the beginning of the Kali Yuga, 6,000 years ago, the beginning of the Mayan calendar, was a signal in a very long, long, long calendar, not 6,000 years, but like 60,000 years.
Okay.
And it said that the end of this age was going to come to an end, and the prophecy said that the sun would explode into gigantic solar flares, which would fry everything on Earth and cause huge Earth changes here on the planet.
I'm sorry. If all that is, then why are we talking about it? Why ain't we at the beach living it up? But Ed, get the Schlitz malt liquor and start having fun, because if the sun explodes, it'll cause more than just a bad day on planet Earth.
Yeah, that's the theme of the movie 2012, some sun flares, you know.
But that whole place, that whole shift, if you had €1 billion ahead, you could go to the ark that they built, because they knew it was going to be bad, so they could figure it all out, and then you could ride it out, float it out for 30 seconds. It was enough water to flood the earth, and yet it goes away in 30 seconds. That's a whale of a flood to go in and out that fast. But
that's what happened back then?
That's what they said in 2012. I mean, they just wrote.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then they were done.
Yes.
But the point of this shift that he's talking about, it's 60,000 years. It's 25,000 years. It's 3,000 years. On and on and on. But it's all coming to a deadly crux of nastiness. So if that's the case, what's the point? You know, you wouldn't be able to buy cartridges for your 30-06. You'd be, if you listen to much of this, you'd go, well, what the hell? Let's blow our brains out, because it's going to be over in a minute anyway. But that's not new. The Calvinists did that many years ago. Oops, the end of time, day after tomorrow. Sell all your property, get rid of your wives, kill all your extra children. Don't plant no crops, don't prepare for nothing, because it's over. Oh, sorry, I miscalculated. Oh, we had a wrong calendar. Oh, it was that wrong date. It's not that June. It's 2 Junes from tomorrow. No, 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 no. Jesus is coming to destroy the world in the rupture next Juvember.
Okay, so...
And all this mess, and this mess comes into a place where you humans, try as you might, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-creators, you ain't destroyed this earth yet. You've poisoned everything you can poison. You've tore up everything you can tear up. You've plowed, clutched, poked, drilled, spilled, drilled, reeled, frilled. You've done everything you can do that you can give it a name, and yet this ball of tar still, oh wait, sorry, didn't mean the DC reference there. And this ball of tar keeps rounding out tar babies. So don't you worry about planet Earth. You marvelous human creators, you created it, you ain't destroyed it yet. Try as you might, you hadn't tore it up yet. So be happy and peaceful with it. And if you want to listen to that much more, go ahead and blow your brains out or do any crazy thing you like, because according to this, it's going to be over pretty soon. So soon and very soon, you're going to see the king. So start packing.
So at best so far, this is just advanced PR for the movie 2012. So we prefer to have it in movie form rather than actually live it.
It was actually a very engaging film. It was well done.
Yep. I saw it. I actually saw it.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago. Okay, so, it was okay. Passable. You know, something. I don't know. Don't remember it. I'd rather talk about Jack Bauer. Now, there's a guy who takes the ball of earth into his own hands.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks for everything, and you got 30 seconds to get out of the country. Hey, wait a minute. That's sort of what he's saying. The sun's going to blow up. You got 30 seconds to get off the planet. We're glad there are parallel worlds. This is good. So from the Jack Power from CTU, the message comes through. Bob, we've done all we can do. Good luck. The drones are above making chemtrails for you to play in. They're watching you. We see you. I'm going to turn myself into the authorities because I've not been good. And you got 30 seconds to get off the planet. There you go. We like it. So that's good. So call 24 and tell them that they've got a new modality for next season. It's good.
Yeah, and I like Jack Bauer because he's a zombie for efficiency. He's a satire.
Well,
his kinetic space is in hyper mode.
And it's MacGyver-ish because he can tear it up, then defend it, and then go fix it, and then take the blame for causing it all at the same time.
He's a hyper MacGyver. That's right.
Well, Chloe then gets yelled at, and she's the one getting him out of the ditch.
Frown. Her frown gets deeper and deeper through the season because she gets blamed for 8 years.
It's more like a wince. You know, when you wince,
yeah.
It just kind of squeezes and locks her jaw. So are we listening to much of this. So,
okay.
Know, it's here all right. Go. No problem.
We're just beginning. Don't get uptight yet. Here we go.
They had done through it before, and they kept accurate records.
They kept accurate records. They'd been through something before, been through this whole disaster, I guess.
Well, maybe they put it in the Akasha records with their sacred geometry.
I'm trying to find where this is.
Well, I can't believe that you've let all these pronouns go. They've been around a long time. It's been coming on here. You wouldn't let us get away with that for 2.3 seconds if there was time.
Well,
you'd
I think
have
you
that
serious.
Far up, but you've been very genteel, Bob, because you don't let that kind of stuff pass.
But I take you seriously.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, I'm just, Ed, where are we on the transcript? Like, it's further down?
Okay, yes.
Just say, how many sections down? I mean, the powers that be, but this group, 6,000 years ago, now the beginning of the calendar.
No, this group knew all of this. That's where we stopped at the end of that sentence.
Okay, there we are, right. Mm-hmm. So they saw, and this group knew all this because they had been through it before, and they kept accurate records.
Right.
So they've been around for billions, gone through this cycle.
These Anunnaki, they've gone through these cycles, and this is another one of the cycles. And they've been through this stuff before, and they make preparations. Actually, what we're going to find out is they are making plans to go to Mars, and that's where they will ride out this catastrophe, the 2020.
Okay. All right, here we go. Instead of going to China, as in the movie, they're going to Mars. Okay, here we go.
Now, isn't that closer to this exploding sign?
Good point. That's right, they're going closer to the sun, Ed.
They're going to be underground on Mars, and by his scientific explanation, Mars doesn't have a magnetic field, and so that will make everything more likely that they will survive than if they stay on Earth.
So, Ed, what you're telling us is that we've been having a a hysterectomy, and we hadn't even got started good yet.
Okay, here we go.
And this group knew all of this because they had been through it before, and they kept accurate records. So they went into action, and they took a lovely planet filled with tribes of hunter-gatherers, and they transformed it into civilization. And they transformed it into civilization so that they could get out of here before the coronal mass ejections hit. And that is what has been going on for over 5,000, almost 6,000 years.
Right. So they've been waiting thousands of years. There's the ionic seal of approval.
Y'all gonna have to do something, JW. You slipped a stitch.
We can mingle among ourselves while you recover. Okay. Mingle, Ed, mingle.
What? Run that by us one more time.
Okay.
It's if they created a civilization so that this civilization would become slaves and create these money that's necessary for the rockets and the scientists and the programs that will send them to Mars so that they can build these underground shelters and ride out this thing that's coming, the coronal mass ejections.
All they had to do was buy stock in the Southern Company 100,000 years ago, and they'd have plenty of money checks to cash to pay for their rockets and their ships and their things.
What's the Southern Company?
It's a publicly traded utility that I'm sure must be hundreds of thousands of years old.
Okay, so, all right, we'll carry on with the audio.
Is a central organizing principle decided and governed by a group that we don't even really know who they really are, for purposes which until recently have remained completely hidden and secret.
And
wait, Bob, just stop. If all authority is speaking to you, who we don't even really know, and don't know anything about them, how did this authority be able to tell you what it is that the supposedly they knew?
Yeah, that's right. How do we know what they knew since we haven't had any contact with them yet?
And the one telling you doesn't know.
He does?
Well, he just said we don't even know what they knew, but he's telling you what they knew in their detail.
And it's completely hidden and secret. Completely.
Now, and we're not picking on nobody. We love everybody.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
We love everybody, but damn, how do you get there from now?
Okay, writing. It's the effect that you've been reading too many books.
Go back to Festus.
Now, we're going to come up on the idea of the managers. And the managers are like what have been termed the Illuminati. The Anunnaki control all of this, and the Illuminati are their managers.
Okay, Ed, what's interesting is Ian has talked about over in the Hadron Collider, there's parallel worlders overseeing what's going on there or just monitoring or being watchers. We have watchers. That Ian says there are watchers here. Maybe he's confusing the watcher syndrome to hyper-managers. There are people dropping pyramids in the Giza Valley from the future. There's that kind of activity going on. You've talked about Ion.
Mm-hmm.
But
now, Bob, don't tell them where the cookie crumbs come from.
Right, in the Hadron Collider, right.
You don't tell them that.
No, but so there is invisible activities going on for most humans, the people who...
Well, that's just those that don't have eyes to see.
Right, if they can
see
it.
But you can let everybody else on the planet have flatulence, and it's on the news and on the boob tube, They don't step out of one red hotel car, anything else, and it's around the world in 2.3 seconds. But this secret society's kept everything so secret, but they told him to not tell anybody else that they're fixing to blow up the earth with the sun. There's lots more vast tools required to destroy the earth rather than blowing up the sun.
Okay, we'll continue.
And, you know, they promised the managers that they're leaving behind that they can have the underground shelters and everything. But I don't think that that's really going to help, because I just can't see how that could survive what is foretold.
What's coming.
And that's really what's happening. And the secret space program and all of these things, flying saucers and bases on the moon and the Nazis and Joseph Farrell's great work.
So we're starting to get to the virus, the problem. He read a book. We're highly suspect of that.
Well, in J.W.'s great uncle on his mama's side, he was pretty common to get into the corn squeezings, and he believed in flying saucers, and he'd get one too many, and boy, the saucers would fly, and some of the china and the cups and the dishes. But them saucers, they is flying saucers, because he could chuck one all the way to the creek and back.
Okay, well, nice pun. Okay.
He's in Joseph Farrell's great work on the alchemy that the Nazis were doing. This is all part of this group, developing the technology for what I call Project Good, which stands for Get Out of Dodge.
Get Out of Dodge, Project Good. So that's what Taze means. I'm good. Get out of Dodge. Yeah, we're going to use that. Everybody says, I'm good. Well, your work, you're going to Mars, eh?
Yeah. And that's why Gunsmoke was so popular.
What?
Because of Miss Kitty and Marshall Dillon and Festus and the doctor, they was trying to get out of Dodge.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And they're getting out of Dodge, baby. And they're almost out.
Well, absolutely. Now, of course, some people attach names to these unknowns, and I have read some accounts that these are some kind of an Anunnaki / Atlantean lines. And then, of course, you have some kind of Illuminati bloodlines flowing in there, but nobody seems to really know who they are, except that they're not.
Well, yeah, actually, we do.
You do?
They are. The Anunnaki is one of the words that they have. The Nephilim is another word that they have. These are words created by different cultures, the Hebrews, the Babylonians, the Sumerians, you know, the Persians, to describe these people. Okay, but their real name is very easy because it describes where they go when they get out of Dodge. And they're called the Aryans. Aryans are called, Aryans is just another word for Martians, because Aries is Mars. And they escaped the end of the last Kali Yuga. I think at the end of every Kali Yuga, the same cycle occurs every time. It may even be why there is a Kali Yuga. They come to Earth after the Earth has healed from the gigantic coronal mass ejections which occur, and they come back in their ships and they repopulate the Earth. They may even take genetic strains with them, which is what the Genome Project is. They may take all the seeds with them, which is what the Seed Project is.
All right. Is the Genome Project what he says it is?
He doesn't even know what it is.
They may even take the genetic strains with them, which is what the Genome Project is. They may take all the seeds with them, which is what the Seed Project is. Do you agree that the projects are for those purposes?
Could
be taken to Mars.
No. Good gracious, no. Repeat.
The Genome Project doesn't even work.
So, from the way they're going at it. But now, if they've done it and done it and done it and done it and done it, don't you think they could get one that'd work?
Yeah, they could sort of not do anything for them to play for the 6,000 years while they waited, because they have all the preparations done before.
it's starting to get like a bad flash forward, isn't it? Every time I do this, it ends in tears, and I keep doing it, and every time I do it, it ends in tears. I've done this every way I can do it, and it still ends in tears, and I ain't supposed to get killed, and bam, gone. And I ain't here we are again, and I ain't supposed to, bam, I'm gone. You know, how many times we got, how many is this Calliope's got a kayak to corral before they can lasso this devil and get it straightened out? Get out quick before it's too late.
Yeah, I was just referring to the TV show Flash Forward and the character Dyson, I think his name was.
Yes.
Who was the mastermind, but dupes himself every time.
Every time. Okay. And he says, every time I do this, it ends in tears. And I think one time I could do it and it wouldn't, but so far, any which way I go, bam, it's all done. And every time it's like, it's on a mountain, I ain't supposed to be on it, bam, then I'm going. I'm in the factory and I can't get to that, bam, then I go. I've drawn it off, I've done this a million times, and every time, bam. You know, and this is a wonderful technology that I've created. I've died so many ways you can't be alive. So I'm going to invent some more of this and record it from a million years ago. And about that 10 millionth round through, I'll just slip off to Mars. Up, bam, I missed it.
Okay.
And they take it there and they bury themselves under, because Mars is a pretty inhospitable place, and they wait for the Earth to recover. And they came back 60,000 years ago, and they thought that, you know, that the Earth had pretty much been wiped out, but a few groups had survived. The Native Americans had survived by being in caves, and they tell those stories about how hot it was, so hot that you stuck a stick out the cave opening and lit on fire. The Chinese survived. Somebody, one of those Asian groups must have survived, obviously. And some of the Africans survived.
Wow.
And when the Aryans landed, they kept to themselves, but they did have ships, and they went around, and they had an order that they couldn't have any sex with the remnants that were left behind. They could help them. They could teach them how to read and write and how to farm and all the other things, but they couldn't have sex with them. But, you know, those Earth women and the way they move, they just couldn't resist. And so these are humans, but they went to Mars for a long time, and they lost the pigment in their skin. They lost the color in their hair. Their eyes turned blue, green, hazel. They were tremendously big because of the low gravity when they landed here. Very advanced, super advanced, and they've been here for a very, very long time, and they're leaving, and they're going. They're leaving now.
That's the hidden meaning of the series Lost. They're leaving. The whole thing was to leave. They were
no, Bob. It was a secret place where they could roll them a fatty, and they could stick a stick out of the cave, and it catch on fire, and they could light their fatty and enjoy their smoking because it's so hot. They got to stay in the caves till the 60,000 years is up, so they can get back to Mars, which is very inhospitable. It's a nasty place. So hurry up and let's get back there, because here ain't going to work so good. Because we've done this many times, so.
Okay.
There's colonies. I know this sounds completely out of my mind, but I have proof for all this. There's colonies up on Mars. Just type in Hale Crater Civilization on Google.
Oh.
Read Skipper's work, Joseph Skipper's great work on the colony there up in Hale Crater.
Ian, are you aware of Joseph Skipper's work?
You call it work? It's
okay,
a pile of words, work?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful work. Beautiful, beautiful work. Work, 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 work.
What's it? I have never heard it before, but can you take a particular idea in there you would refute?
All of it.
Yes, because he made the mistake of making it into a book.
No, it's not necessarily a mistake about making it a book. It's just all subjugated into these, you know, the Wellians run around and they read a book and then they become that dynamic of human creators playing with whatever words that are. You can take, you can create bondage, Bob, if you want to, and it makes no difference.
Who's Wellian?
You know, Orson.
Orson Welles. Okay, Wellian. Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And most of the technology you got today come right out of Gene Roddenberry's rectum.
Yeah.
So it's not an issue if that's what you want to do. But law, if you're going to describe it in such a way, don't make it to where it's, you're blowing up the last bastion of hope to go to an inhospitable place where you come from to start with, and then every time you start to get off on the thing, it cycles again, and bam, you've blowed your brains out. Don't make it to where you can't get there, even if you can't. And if you can't get there anyway, and then nobody lives through these cycles, but yet they keep to themselves, who's left there if it gets all blowed up every time? Who's left if everybody's killed that you've got to be a separatist because you're the only ones there anyway? Or are you being separate from yourself? But you can't go outside because the sticks will get you far, and so you just better roll your fanny and don't worry about it.
Yeah, and this is preparation over 60,000 or 55,000 years. It's a long period of waiting for going to an inhospitable place.
Yeah, that's
place.
A lot of Lebanese hash if you got 60,000 years to smoke it in it.
So that's actually, the real thing is to have the smoking. This is the party line for the smokers. Just, this is the reason. People want to know why they're doing it. They got this standard story, and they just don't even believe it, and they just issue it, and then they go back to smoking. So let's not be fooled. Jay Wiedner is telling us the story that's a distractor, a red herring for the real Illuminati, which is us. I mean, not us, me and you, but the essence of people. They're the Illuminati. They're the ones having a good time. I mean, it's, the human race can go around ignoring these concerns because it's
they've got 50 more thousand years to figure it out, to get their brains blowed out, so it's okay.
Okay, on we go.
This is what's going on. This is the long and short of it. And
wow.
Yeah, they live here. And they actually lived in Norway. That's where they lived because they liked the coolness. They couldn't get used to the heat.
Did these people that don't exist live in Norway, Ion? Could you give any credence
to
that?
The ones that didn't exist live in Norway? Sure, Bob. Those non-existent people, that was their address. Okay, it's kind of like the letters to Santa Claus. How did they get them to the North Pole? Does Santa Claus live in the North Pole? Sure, he's in the North Pole. Yeah. Those that don't exist, that's where they live. Everybody that doesn't exist lives in Norway. Okay.
Okay.
No problem.
Maybe I should say you can't find them, the people we can't find. Nobody's really heard from them lately.
They can't. They in the cave, sticking sticks out the cave and lighting their fatties. No wonder they can't find them. They ain't got a zip code.
Okay.
And that spiral that exploded over Norway when Obama was going to get his peace prize in Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's our weaponry.
Now, we explained that the spiral is caused by about 28 parallel worlders who leaped into the rift and had a great time, and a spiral was nature's commentary. He's saying it's a weapon. The spiral indicated a weapon. You don't have
to
comment.
Booger up Obama.
Here's the problem Obama faces, okay? These guys are leaving. They're getting out of here because they think that the coronal mass ejections are coming.
Okay.
All right? Okay, they're leaving, and they don't care who runs the United States anymore. Okay, they did up until last year. Now they don't care anymore. Okay, it was always one of them, by the way.
Oh.
But now they don't care. And so Obama's sitting here, and he's got the remnants of their technology.
Uh-huh.
He's got the stuff sitting around, right? And they're
right.
Probably busily back engineering the Aryan technology, okay?
Right.
And this is what's going on in Argentina and Chile, where they're raiding the tunnel systems.
Yep,
this is
yep.
The New World Order. These are the managers that have been left behind.
Mm.
The New World Order is not the Aryans. The New World Order is the Aryans' managers.
Right, that would make sense.
Yeah. And this is the Aryans think of themselves as the people of the Red, or the people from the Red Planet. And when Bauer changed his name to Rothschild, which means Red Shield, he was really signifying that he was the shield for this thing, this project, which moved into high gear, beginning of the Industrial Age. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinking that they're deforesting the planet, raping the mountainsides, enslaving people, doing all this stuff just because it's something that has gone out of control. Mm-hmm. But it isn't. It's all the underpinnings of a huge secret project to develop quickly colonies and ships and moving gigantic amounts of goods and services across the gap between here and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
the truth right there. And a lot of people are going to know this pretty soon. I'm not the only one that knows what's going on here.
Ion, didn't you say that during our X-ray of Richard Hoagland that it's difficult with our equipment right now to get to Mars? It's a lot further away than...
It's not about the difficulty. It's that your light years isn't correct.
So we have to assume these...
not correct.
So we have to assume...
You can do it in a second if you just go into a parallel world, but it wouldn't be your most favorite journey.
Right, so we have to assume that these Illuminati, above Illuminati people, they know how to get to Mars.
Oh, yeah, it's real easy. He just told you they're chopping all the trees down and building spaceships out of pine trees. They're taking loblolly pines and making big ships and going to Mars.
Well, I hope they're not.
Raping the sides of the mountains and cutting down deforestation. So they're chopping down the trees and making lots of goods from China to get a good stock supply of Cipro and Jolly Pops so they can have ice cream sandwiches on Mars.
So as long as they're not using the concept of speed of light, they could make it.
Well, you could do it in a second because there's no time. But the practical reference that they're speaking of, it's taking them 60,000 years for your technology to catch up to even figure out there is a Mars, and now all of a sudden you've got spaceships that pop there, radio back, pop you in, pop you back. Maybe they, like I said earlier, maybe they had two cans and a string. You'd say, well, you can't do that. Well, you can do that just as easy as you can pop their radio back and get the signal before it got there, so it's all right. So we think Campbell soup, tomato soup cans, and really good string between here and Mars, and you got it.
And so the radio, the instantaneity of radio is a technical simulation of what you could do naturally.
Well, because they have trouble even getting Doppler sonar for these great big old asteroids that's supposed to come plow into the Earth and destroy it long before the solar capsation starts shooting off and blowing up the sun. So I don't know. Maybe they better pick Pluto. It may be, oh, wait, no, you already got rid of Pluto. Here's what we're trying to say is if you blow up the sun, Mars ain't going to hit you.
Okay, good point. If you got a major solar flare that's going to wipe out the Earth, then it'll affect the Mars, so you wouldn't be safe there.
But you won't have no trouble lighting up your fatty. I can guarantee you that.
Are you implying this guy, Jay Wiedner, uses fatty?
No, we're saying that you won't have any trouble getting a match. If you just got to stick your stick out of the cave and light it far, then you can light one smoke what you want to.
Well, human creators made the universe somehow, and...
not somehow, they did it.
Yeah, and we would not allow sun flares to destroy our world. Unless
well,
we desired it, unless we wanted
else.
To.
You've tried everything else. You might as well try
Oh, is there
else.
Something? Is there something that... If we've tried to blow up our universe and destroy it, is there something outside of us that's stopping it?
Well, of course, Bob, your duality of your eternalness, of your desire always makes a way. You're supposed to have been dead from Y2K. You're supposed to have been dead from the hole in the ozone. You're supposed to have been dead from the ice age. Oh, wait, was that before 60,000 years ago? we get tangled up. You're supposed to die through the second and the third flood. you're supposed to die. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's been over so many times you can't count. Now you got more billions of people, human creators, creating on the planet, fine, deliciously, than you ever have, ever have, ever have, ever have, ever. And when they had a couple of million people on the planet, they said, oh, we're going to have a genocide. There's too many people. There won't be enough water. There won't be enough food. There won't be enough. It won't be enough Cadillacs to drive.
Okay, carrying on.
And this is all written down, by the way, in ancient texts from India, all of this.
Oh, okay, what do you think of that, Ion? You checked out your Sanskrit? Is this stuff that he's talking about written down in Sanskrit?
Yes, in space Jews. They was good printers.
Okay.
And these texts were from the Aryans, and they told their story. And
well, now,
go ahead.
If they are leaving, if they're going, or they have the ability to go back and forth to Mars and further,
yeah.
I'm sure.
They do.
Isn't a coronal mass ejection going to destroy Mars as well?
No, because they're underground.
Mars is underground.
No, they will be underground.
Why can't they be underground here?
I think they're leaving that for the managers.
Oh.
I guess this is going to get more destroyed or something. <than Mars>.
Well, why don't they just move Mars here and put it underground, and then they got it whooped?
Okay.
They're going out. If you're first off, it will hit Mars. It won't be anything like what happens here.
Oh.
Okay. Secondly, it hits. The problem with the coronal mass ejection, which I have to say, the film The 2012 did a pretty good job of evoking.
I told you it was PR, advanced PR for 2012, but it already happened. But he's probably been taught this stuff for a couple of years. So, yes, he's advanced PR for 2012. Right? That would be, he's probably paid to talk about this to promote the movie. What do you think? Are you going to get any intel on that?
Well, he should give the money back.
He didn't do a good job promoting
it. Well, if you listen to this, and it would yearn you to go watch a movie about the Mayan fornication of the end, when we said that word the way we meant it, then this wouldn't move you to go buy popcorn and soda pop and pay $10 to go see that one, if that's the preface or the preeminence of it. Ed, how long has he been talking this smack?
For quite a while, and he's not the only one.
Lord. Does he have books he gets published?
Well, he's a documentary maker.
Oh. So he's PR for his own documentaries. That's what's happening here.
Could be.
Yeah.
Is that it is a huge electromagnetic blast, which has a commensurate effect on the core, which is heavily electromagnetic of the Earth.
Right, right.
Okay, so it causes a core flip.
Huh.
Okay, here's how it works. The poles of the sun orbit or rotate every 37 days.
Mm-hmm.
The equator of the sun would also rotate every 37 days, except that the angular momentum of the planets at the equator of the solar system causes it to slow down. So it only rotates at 26 days every instead of 37.
Mm-hmm.
It rotates a little bit faster. Every 87 days, there is a crossing over of the magnetic field as the 26 catches up to the 37 again.
Okay. Every 87 days.
Wait a minute.
Do your chuckle.
We just got a question. Exactly how long does it take the 27 to catch to the 38?
Well, it's 26 to 37.
Okay, how long does it take 26 to catch up to 37?
I didn't get that. You want me to look at the text?
Well, yeah, what does it say? Because we're non-physical and we don't get it, so we can't imagine anybody else could.
Every 87 days, there is a crossing over of the magnetic field as the 26 catches up to the 37 again.
37 is continuing. The 37 is continuing, so 87 wouldn't catch them up. They would be out of their cyclical cycle. The cycles would overlap, so it wouldn't double catch itself at 87, because when it got to, the 87, the 37 would be in a separate rotation, and the 26 would be in a separate rotation. And you're talking about the orbits of the planets around the sun. The sun doesn't rotate around the Earth, or have we missed something?
No, you didn't miss anything.
So if the solar system is, and now we're asking, we're not saying, we're asking, do we have it relatively established that the sun is in the center of this particular solar system?
Yep.
Okay.
Right, Ed? That you agree with that, Ed?
Yes. Well, it's not clear here, but.
Well, no, we're just asking because we don't want to get it tangled up now. So if you got the sun in the middle of the solar system and these planets, because of the gravitational pull, are in orbits. Now, they're not perfect orbits. Well, they are perfect orbits, but it's not perfectly circular orbits. They have different alignments that happen in different times. So every 26 days, the sun's solar axis pitches north to south, south to north. And if you're at the sun, which way is north?
Oh, you'd need a solar compass for that.
Oh, does he have one?
Well, I haven't heard him mention one yet.
Well, so we want to know how you speak of the axis of the sun pitching hither and toe if you don't know where north is for it to pitch from. You know, it's sort of like a bad romance when you don't know who's pitching and who's catching.
Okay, I'm going to continue.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every 87 days, there's a small electromagnetic crossing, which encases the sun in an tightly woven electromagnetic shell.
Okay.
After about 13,000 years of this nonsense, the entire sun is bound in a huge receding quickly electromagnetic field, which has a commensurate effect on the Earth's electromagnetic field, which also begins receding.
Huh.
This is all happening right now with the loss of the sunspots and the Earth's magnetic field receding. Okay, this is all, it's a 13,000 year cycle that we are right on the edge of, and when the sun finally has to right itself, i.e. move its rotational fields back into sync again, which it has to do, there will be a huge electromagnetic storm which will go out way beyond the Earth. There will be carrying with it gigantic coronal mass ejections which will ignite the forests of the Earth and boil the oceans. And if you're underground on Mars, well, you know, you have a pretty good chance of making it.
It's not even hospitable, and then to go to do that means you don't have a good shot at making it there either, because you're talking about, even if Mars has no magnetic conductivity, this coronal mass ejection. Now, we could parallel that, but it would start, we'd have to sing the song Brown Chicken, Brown Cow pretty long. It would get a pretty good blue. When that music comes on, you know somebody's fixing to have a coronal mass ejection when they start playing Brown Chicken, Brown Cow. So once that comes along, then even without any magnetic or magnetic conductivity, what's coming would supersede it. It would charge it electromagnetically if this was even within the realm of gobbledygook. I mean, you could even get this in the gobbledygook section. Does Dewey Decimal give a gobbledygook section, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. So look in your Dewey Decimal System under gobbledygook.
It's called fiction.
Oh, well, I don't know if we could be that. That's being very generous. But the point is, the if-so facto, if you blow up the sun, it's pretty much over on Saturn and Jupiter and Uranus, and somebody's going to bust, it'll even bust Uranus. Exactly, exactly right. So makes no difference if this very large ejection that's coming, it makes no difference what you're in the middle of. That magnetic conductivity alone would actually throw, if you made it through as a planet, it'd throw you out of orbit. Because that same thing that he's speaking about that's fixing to blow, well, now we play the thing all the time, I don't know where you're going to go when the volcano blows. But
yeah,
we weren't sending you to Mars. When this happens, even if you have no magnetism, it's going to catapult your orbit, which is what sets the orbit, is the magnetic conductivity. It's going to change it to such a degree that you're liable to bump, to run up Uranus right past Jupiter.
Do planets have magnetic conductivity?
That's how they stay in orbit. They have a gravitational pull, or they would be escaped from the orbit. They'd make a turn, and if they didn't have any magnetic conductivity, nothing hold them in the gravitational pull of the sun, they'd be pitched out. The next thing you know, they'd be in, what's your next galaxy?
Andromeda.
Oh, yes, Lord. Maybe they should shoot for Andromeda. Maybe they'd have a better change there.
So this magnetic conductivity, can it be changed?
Well, if it does, you don't just change the weather patterns on Mars, you change everything.
Is our magnetic conductivity is changing now?
It's shifting back to, so magnetic north and true north will line up. And that moving just a few 15, 20 points of degrees is going to make a huge difference on the planet. Major change. So, but don't worry, Bob. We'll all be safe in the belly of Mars before that ever comes along, apparently.
So that slight change that you're talking about that's coming is, or happening now, is not subject to solar flare impact?
Well, the hole in the ozone killed you all already, so I guess it's a non-issue.
Okay, carrying on.
Or Y2K. Maybe it was Y2K. That's what it was. Y2K got you.
Okay.
There's no electromagnetic fields on Mars. There's no tectonic plates.
Oh.
Nothing's going to be spinning around. And, you know, you just wait it out. You just wait it out. And after, you know, a few hundred years, I don't know how long, when the forests grow back and the animal life comes back, then you mount your expeditions and you go back. So we're building not only the expeditions that are going there. What we've been building for the last 300 years is the expeditions that are going to take them back, the ships that are going to take them back here too.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And it recurs all the time. And the Vedic texts and the Mahabharata, this is what they're discussing. And the including the gigantic ships or arcs, as they call them, I want to make one thing clear. I'm not saying white people are Aryans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that white people are the bastard children of
mm-hmm.
Aryans and Earth people.
Okay,
you understand? These are not. They don't look like us at all. They're chalk white.
See, Bob, we told you what happened if you got on cash flow and we started talking about your five bodies and them bastard babies. We told you it was going to come back to bite you, and now it has. Now the Martians has got a hold of it, and now they are going to try to legitimize your five bodies, the bastard babies of Bob. See, I told you.
Well, what did he say to indicate that?
Oh, just that the Aryans weren't white people. They were chalky. And we've talked about chalky trouble before, haven't we?
Yeah. What about the space Jews? It sounds like
that, exactly. They'd be chalky too. That's exactly right. They're having chalky trouble. And then it comes into the whole twisting realm of this. If you destroy the Earth, and how is it that in 100 years you're going to grow forests back if you've destroyed the Earth? If it ain't fit to inhabitate, how are you going to get animals back in 100 years? If the Earth is so void of structure that you can't sustain life, how is it in 100 years you're going to restock it?
Okay, next.
They're freakish kind of looking. They're where the vampire myths come from, because they can only come on the surface of the Earth at night, because they have a, and their skin is so translucent that it's all, that you can see the capillary system, and so they look blue in certain kinds of light.
Well, you know, there was a movie that that was made on it was a remake of The War of the Worlds.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, well, isn't this kind of strange for him to make this kind of movie where they're already underground
and
they're just beamed through those laser beams?
Very prescient. Yes. Spielberg has to know. I mean, when I saw that, I just went, my God, he has to know.
Yeah. Oh,
he
absolutely.
He has to know that they've been here the whole time. And
they
are underground. That's exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And by the way, these other things that we see, and I'm not saying there's not other aliens, and there could be, I'm not even going to argue that, but some of the other things that we've been seeing are their robotic creations, and they've been here, these robotic creations, for a long time, man. And I don't know if they're robotic or they're genetic. I mean, I can't tell. I think sometimes they're robotic, sometimes they're genetic.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that Obama has to ask himself, all right?
Yeah.
He knows that these guys are leaving. He knows there's a disaster coming of some kind, okay?
Yeah.
They shoot a hyperdimensional weapon over Norway while he's picking up the Peace Prize, right?
Right.
Everybody's, like, screaming and yelling, why does Obama get the Peace Prize? He hasn't done a damn thing, okay? I'm going to tell you why Obama gets the Peace Prize. He gets the Peace Prize so he doesn't shoot at them while they're leaving.
Huh.
Okay? Now, here's the problem that he faces, though, and this is a serious problem.
Yeah.
Okay? You're the Aryans, and you're back on Mars, waiting for the coronal mass ejection. You got the hatches buttoned down, everything, all right?
Okay.
What is to prevent the elites that you've left behind from back engineering the crap that you've left behind, and coming after you and stealing your place and living? Okay, now, I know that sounds crazy, but
it doesn't.
Truth. And I'll tell you what, he's worried that they're going to attack us. And that's what that thing in Norway was about.
Huh.
And these people are saying that these are benevolent aliens and stuff. You haven't read your history.
So if it's going to be over soon, why would Obama care if they blow him up or run him out of his house? I mean,
well,
if they've all left, how are they supposed to attack? Why would they? The Earth's going to be destroyed, so let's destroy it before it's destroyed. I'm having an incredulous experience here, because which is it? Is there something to fight for, or if it's over, just let it be over? If it's over, start having fun with it. And if it ain't, then quit,
worrying. Quit worrying if it ain't. Okay.
The Aryans stormed down. They enslaved all of India. They created the caste system.
Mm-hmm. Every war has been created indirectly by this influence, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And if you read, what's that guy's name? Colin Andrews' book, Ashes of Angels. It's a great book. He talks about this history of these babies, these magical babies that are born. And they're all white, and they have white hair and chalk white skin. And some tribes, you know, were fearful of these children and they killed them. Mm-hmm. And some tribes thought that these children were some kind of exalted being and they raised them up into exaltedness within the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And these beings frequently had red hair because the overabundance of iron oxide in the air on Mars causing red hair.
How do you have iron oxide and zero magnetic conductivity?
Good point. Did it again, destroyed. His point's destroyed. Okay.
So they exalted these beings, and these were the European tribes who exalted these beings, had sex with them, with these children.
Had sex with the children? What? That were petty? Oh, Ed, that's where them pedophiles come from. We know there was somewhere. That's it. The space Jews was having chalky trouble, so they started sleeping with the children. That's what it was. And they guess where they got red hair from? Because of the iron oxide on Mars. There we go. Law, this is just fine. I am so thrilled. Y'all are really getting non-physical edumacated here.
Okay, next for sure.
And so I think like the Africans have a history of you know killing albino children right when they're born. I don't know if you know that, but they're Yeah, they're considered wicked. You can Google it. You know, African tribe albino children, and you can see that they think that they're wicked or something bad about them. And so this is a long tradition where they would get rid of these angel demon children. And get rid of them and so the Aryan influences are more prevalent among the European stock cultures and so they became the vehicle for the real Aryans that have nothing to do with white people at all, actually, except for leaving behind some genetic trace to do their bidding. And so that's what's been going on.
Doesn't sound like Lance believes him. He's just, the tone is a bit insincere when he goes, ah.
Well, that's is ooh and ah and oh.
Yeah, what tell us what you read. Is Lance believing this guy? Is he thinking at least is making a good show?
Ask Ed. You don't want to know what we think about it.
No, but what is Lance? What does Lance White think of Jay Wiedner's talk?
We are amazed that you got a part two.
Skull and Bones is a part of this group.
Skull and Bones is a part of this group. Well, that we can interview them, so we kind of know who they are. That would help us.
No, Bob, you just got to go to India. They've got a 600,000 years of archives that you can read. You can just go to India. It's all wrote down, and it'll be bigger than the it'll be bigger than the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
But Michael Tesserian has traced a lot of this these German groups back. The German groups are the key. Once you start back engineering the German groups, you can find everything.
You can back engineer the German groups and find everything. Any comment?
See, we told you Uranus had something to do with it.
The Saturnian Society, Aleister Crowley, all of the UFO stuff from South America, all this stuff is all intertwined into a cohesive story that makes total sense and gets rid of a lot of the gobbledygook. But.
It's Ayaz gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook. God, we resemble that remark. Now, wait a second. I want something cleared up here for the record. Now, I want some help. Y'all can help non-physical here. Just exactly what do people from Mars recognize as a UFO?
That's right. They would have just IFOs.
Well, do they refer to themselves as UFOs, or if they were sleeping with the children, killing the white ones, or causing apartheid for the chalky trouble, why wouldn't they recognize it as their own ships, or is that where they're still cutting down the pine tops to build the ships, or did they come here build the ships to get back there so they could get back here to go there when they destroyed this one from the sun blowing up, to go back underground there for 100 years so the trees could grow back so they could build another ship to take another round at it. So when the flash forward goes bad again, they go bam and blow their brains out. Is that how this works? And I just want to get it because I'm confused. I'm confused.
No, it's pretty straightforward. It makes sense to me. It makes all this other gobbledygook that non-book people talk about. It doesn't make it.
Okay.
This is book stuff. This is valid.
Okay. Well, at 2:22, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, it's 2:22, 8:22 in Hawaii.
It's backed up and bolstered by very, very serious ancient texts, Puranic texts, and Vedic texts, which tell the whole story very clearly.
Bob, that's the clearest gobbledygook we've ever heard. We think that's fine gobbledygook.
Yeah, the texts tell the story very clearly. Has he read all 6,000 pages or whatever?
Well, he's had 60,000 years to work on it, and this is the 15th time through of 60,000 years. How many flash forwards you got to go before you start noticing a theme?
Sounds like the Matrix movie. Six times through. That Matrix movie we saw was the sixth time through, according to the architect.
Well, we had an Oracle and a Neo and a Zionist. At least it had something you could work with. It wasn't the ancient Samaritan Hebrewoids and the space Jews coming to run something in your rectum to blow up the planet so you can get in and out of it to see how it's going to work. Because we've done this and done this how many rounds of times now. You know, at the end of the day, if you never win, why do you keep playing the game?
Well, this Jay Wiedner, I don't know why he gets any attention about these issues. What do you think, Ed? Is there a reason why Jay... he makes documentaries. Ah, that's it. He's a film guy who's very impressed with the book medium. He doesn't work in the book medium, but he's impressed with what he reads, but he works in the documentary film medium. So because he has clout in that medium, then he's relevant to be interviewed about his opinions on book theories, fringe book theories.
Yes, and he writes articles, too. You know, you'd seen some of those articles on his site about Kubrick and so on.
Yeah, okay, so he has a bit of savvy beyond the average run that the Cary Project Camelot's in, because he has actual productive artworks. He's actually doing things in other media, and that impresses Americans. When somebody is making media, that's impressive.
But does he speak Martian?
That would be his discussions of the movies he's making. It would be Martian to you.
But doesn't it seem logical that if this is a 60,000-year rotation of the Martians, that you would be in English, or would it be in Martian?
Yeah, another fine question.
Or was that the Nephilim, or was that just the Nephilim trying to screw with you?
We're going to find out about that, I think.
Oh, we hope so.
And remember, it's backed up by the Purana texts and the Vedic texts. So that's where that's his substantiation for his what he's saying.
Well, there's some transubstantiation going on for sure, but.
Well, what are some basic? If we went through the Vedic texts, would they say the same thing as the Emerald Tablets?
No.
They're a corruption of it.
Not even that.
Would you recommend our reading of it?
Yes, a joyful time would be really had. And we probably want to pick up you want to watch it for the Reds, the Communist Manifesto, and you probably want to take up all kinds of disconnections so you can see what connection feels like. Oh, yes, and we're great proponents of taking a stick and poking out your eyes to see what that feels like.
So who created the Sanskrit? Is there any information that we don't know about it that you could explain?
Oh, yes. It was them space Jews, Bob, from Mars underground.
Okay, we're trying to move. You're talking to me now. We're talking to a serious human being here.
Oh, sorry.
Okay,
so
get serious.
You got so swirled into this.
I know, with the delusory. get non-physical who has no feelings, is unhurtable, is actually getting affected by this.
Well, it's just.
Yeah, are you actually getting frustrated by this, Ian?
Oh no, it's just it's comic relief. It's comic relief.
Yeah, but you're expressing
disdain
slightly.
Disdain. The reason is because here you're just now coming to the place where your power starts to flow because the veil's been rent and it's flowing back to the human creators and they're getting this capacity that they can do, be, or have anything. And the best thing they've got to offer on the planet is something with chalky trouble with the Martians because the sun is going to blow up and you'll be able to smoke your fatties by sticking a stick out of the cave and light it. And you've done this a dozen times and you hadn't got it right yet. What in the hell, or heaven, what in the heaven is the point of bringing yourself into this place of power when you know, obviously, that you can't do it, you can't get there, and the best you're going to be, even the best of them are the managers that run you into this transposition of you're not going to make it. Well, if human creators have gone this far separating themselves from their power, if they already know what they can't do, what's the point of coming into your power to find out that, again, indeed, when you didn't have your power, you couldn't do it, and now that you have your power, you can't do it? What is the point of doing it?
Right, so you see this, you take this personally, that he's distracted from the ionic celebration of the thinning of the veil. This, the retrieval of the old Ra'i principle.
Ra'i, yeah. And see, you're coming into a place, but at least when they introduced Ra'i, it was to bring you into your place of cognitive place of power. At least if you could blame it on Ra'i, you knew how the separations worked. At least if you had some kind of context in this place, you could get to some solution that you could work with. And it wasn't a perfect solution, but at least in the days of Dave Worster, you knew what was gobbledygook. he could tell you, don't believe me, but play with it. And these dynamics of awareness, that you can be aware, and that you can come into your place of power deliciously, and that if you don't have the answers, you can get them. At least that flow gave you a nickel's worth of hope.
What could you say in a few words about the Sanskrit text, the Vedic text? You put no value on them other than human playfulness?
Oh, yes. You had to have all the Sanskrit text so you could get the Gutenberg printing press to sell indulgences to get your loved ones out of purgatory.
Ah, right. So you have to have
real important. You had to have some alphabet so you could screw it up. So then when you could ascend, and then the best words that could come out of your mouth is OMG, this must be a BFD.
Right, so you're saying that the Sanskrit was placed in the past to make the retrieval function of the printing press valuable. I get that.
Exactly, that's why they created participles, so you had the power to dangle them.
That's right. Now, McLuhan pointed out that the printing press enabled the people in the 1500s, 1600s to retrieve ancient scenarios and props from Rome and Greek culture. It was a retrieval purpose.
Ed, you know we're sliding down a slippery slope when McLuhan becomes more attractive than the text that we're working with. You know it's a rough news day.
Okay, here we go with Wiedner. More.
How does that tie into the idea that we... that there are different ages. In other words, do we ever get out from under the prison bars of some kind of highly advanced extraterrestrial civilization that controls us without our knowing? Isn't there supposed to be a golden age after the Iron Age?
Well, it is, but here's the thing, is that this is really the crux of the matter. The only way that you can have a golden age, what happens is that through the long cycle of the yugas, which is really called a kalpa, which is all of the cycles together, there are so many deaths. And as you approach the Bronze Age and the Kali Yuga, there's more and more deaths of violent nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes thousands and thousands of years for bones to vanish. the earth becomes haunted by an inescapable presence called the Ka from Egypt, which is a residual that's left behind. And the only way that you can have a golden age is for all of the Ka to be burned away so that the earth is completely renewed.
Hold on. Enough.
Okay.
We take great deference when you start talking about Elizabeth the First, Anne Boleyn's girl, Henry the Eighth, one of his many wives. That was the reference of the Golden Age, and not some Ka-Ra-Ma-Ka that's come along here that's supposed to be some ramification of a Ramesses that's coming along. So don't go tangling up good stuff with this gobbledygook stuff. The Golden Age was when Queen Elizabeth I took over after Edward passed and after Mary, Bloody Mary, got moved around. When Elizabeth took the throne, the first, that was known as the Golden Age. And let's not confuse it, because you do have some references there.
Well, African scholars talk about the Golden Ages in Africa that the Western scholars don't acknowledge. Maybe you're being a little prejudiced.
They had chalky trouble of their own, Bob, so it's okay.
You think it's okay? Well, did they have wonderful kingdoms in Africa?
They still do.
They still do?
They still do.
And so you can name a couple of places where they are?
Are you kidding? The best internet technology in the world is in Nigeria. Hadn't you been offered a marvelous business opportunity from the Nigerians, Bob? What are you talking about? They're more plugged in than Bill Gates. They can get more emails through than he can put out. And what happens to all those thin Microsoft error reports? Where do those go? Exactly. When something fouls up, and do you want to send an error report? Exactly whose job is it? Does that go to Nigeria for them to process your error reports when something don't go through right?
Okay, calm down.
We digress.
Just to get something interesting said. Okay.
And unfortunately, these guys, these Aryans, broke the rules. They didn't want to die in the last catastrophe, which they had to do. That was part of the deal. The earth can only be renewed if all of the Ka goes. And they escaped, and they went away, and they kept all of the knowledge that had been gathered from the previous culpa, and which you're also supposed to lose. So you start out in a pristine state. Again, and they broke the rules.
We're going to take Lance's position. Oh. Oh. Now that's the interviewer with the mostest, Bob. You should take that on. A lot of it go,
That's like Manipian phatic expression. Satirical phatic tone, intonation.
Okay. But see, the rambling that just goes on, if it was fruitful at any level or degree, we can't even accuse him of trying to tell us something.
He remains in the phatic, so Lance's Manipian phatic response is appropriate. Manipian meaning hyper-satirical.
Well, that's even a stretch.
Yeah.
Because if you listen closely now, and now jump in here now, we need some human creators here. Because
we're running out of gas.
When you start sort of dividing this, there's not much to give some commentary regarding, because he talks himself in and out of every position that's been run so far. It is or it ain't. Well, it's done. We've done this time, and we don't want to get left behind, and it doesn't work until everybody goes, and nobody's gone yet, and this is our 15th time through, and how many more 60,000-year cycles are we going to keep playing with this flash forward that we don't blow our brains out? But it gets talked into and out of in the same sentence.
Well, he's brought in a new aspect. It's the renewal, natural renewal cycle is involved.
That's not new. Everybody's going to leave. It gets destroyed this time. It's happened a dozen or so times before. And then 100 years, they cut all the trees down to build the spaceships to get to Mars because they didn't have one to get back from there because they came from there the first time. They cut all the trees down and tear the mountains down, and everything's killed every time, every 15 times in the cycles of the Calliope-Upido. And then once that gets all done in 100 years or so, they come back and they got a whole new planet and they got a whole new livestock, every chicken in every pot and a mule and 40 acres for every human created that didn't make it because nobody ever makes it. And they ain't even nobody left to smoke fatties in their caves no more. So then the trees grow back in 100 years. Okay. And then they go, okay. So is that every time this happens in that process? So it takes 60,000 years to build up to it, but 100 years to put it all back. That's pretty cool. That might be a good example of marvelous creation, but you can't have the Kaliyaliuku to figure that out. You better get you some creators involved if you're going to tear it up and then put it back in 100 years.
Yeah, it doesn't sound advisable to become one of these managers or overseers because you'd be haunted by the specter for 60,000 years while the blissed out ignorant humans are just having fun enjoying themselves for 60,000 years. Best not to know about this stuff.
Yeah, but now you've got to be pretty smart. You can take loblolly pines and build a spaceship that'll get you to the end, to the guts of Mars, though.
Okay.
And this is why Tessarian's work is so good, because these guys broke the rules, and now they're now we're just their slaves. Now racism has come into it. Whereas before there was no racism, now there's a racism. The Earth peoples are too stupid. The Earth peoples are too dumb. And it's not dumb or stupid. They never had the advanced technology carried over from the Dark Age to the Golden Age, or should have been a Golden Age. And this is the problem. And so there has to be a cleansing of the Earth so that it can be renewed. And they're not allowing that to happen. And they keep bringing back the same genetic strains when actually the Earth is constantly rolling the dice and searching for new genetic strains that it can use to embrace and place consciousness in. The Aryans keep bringing back all the old structures. This is why corn is a hybrid. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Corn is a hybrid. When they discovered corn, even to this day, it was a hybrid. Somebody had messed with it. Long time ago.
It's all genetically modified.
Well, it is, and again, you have to ask yourself why that's being allowed and why all the forests are being cut down. And
well, the reason that you don't have any control of it is because the overseers has got it all screwed up, and they've done this so many times they have no choice. It's all pre-set up, and so either way, every time you go through, you're screwed. So why care? We just couldn't let that go. It's just too much.
Okay.
The chemtrails and HAARP.
Those are to keep us away from seeing what is going on behind our backs, which is a gigantic evacuation. They don't care about us anymore.
Wow.
The Vedic texts say that the devas, which have been destroyed through this current Kali Yuga, according to the text, the devas, have gone back to the Godhead. They left, thousands of years ago to travel back to the Godhead to tell the Godhead that the Archons, who are the Aryans, by the way, that the evil Archons had taken over the entire planet and that they needed, help because the devas had been driven off the planet. The devas, of course, are the nature spirits.
And
as Tolkien shows us very clearly in The Lord of the Rings, Sauron and Sargon are destroying nature to fuel and finance some mysterious project. And if you go back and look and see in history, who Sauron is, it's obvious that he's talking about Sargon. Sargon was the head of the first real king of the Kali Yuga in Mesopotamia. He started calendars. He started clocks. He started the workday. He started everything. And he was an Aryan. And so you can see that there's this regimented thing that starts entering in and removes us from the natural state of a highly advanced hunter-gatherer, which is really what human beings are.
How did it get us away from the highly advanced if they was in control and crammed it all down your throat hole to start with and you've only been enslaved forever and you didn't have sense enough to get out of a paper sack because you're too stupid? Oh, you got us to say the word again, Bob. The human creators are so evolved in their stupidity that they can't see up from down. But now they can tell what north of the sun is, so that's pretty smart. And these Calliope Cooties that's come into this has got it crammed it down to where you can't make it, and they're raping and pillaging. But you're so stupid, you shouldn't know or care, and they ain't told you nothing. And then the peace prize was that he didn't shoot Obama because they all left him holding the bag. Apparently that must be an issue because they've all left, and then the only thing that's any good out of it was the divas, and they left thousands of years ago, and so you're pretty much screwed.
Well, that seems to be the recurrent theme.
Okay. We just couldn't miss that. I mean, because even corn isn't natural anymore. It's only hybrid corn, and now that's destroying something and it's just killing this. But they've done this over and over and over, so it's kind of like, I guess it's like rectal intercourse. You better learn to get used to it because that's the best you could hope for.
And that's our natural state. You know, very close to the earth, no agriculture, all fresh foods, a lot of hunting, a lot of gathering. Very spiritual, though, not a grunting life, but a wonderful, beautiful life filled with meditation and a much higher standard of living, which was what was going on before the Aryans emerged.
Well, I think, Ion, you could agree that there was a period, is a period, not a was, I guess there is a period of pre-Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. But apparently that the Aryans was already screwing with you then, so what's the point? Hey, if you were coming under this superfluous degree of dissension that he's discussing here, it sounds perfectly logical to imbue all your power into a box so that you could smoke the giants when you got to the promised land. Sounds like a real good idea. If that's the best that power or being God gets you, then, yeah, what's the point? We've cried and we'd hope for so much more.
Okay.
Now, is there any connection between the Aryans and then the German Aryans that were involved with one of the world wars?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, all of the German Nazis were obsessed with the lore of a people that lived under the earth.
The Nordics, weren't they?
Yes, and they... And they were obsessed with it, and Hitler even told people that he had met the new man, i.e. the Aryans, that he is terrible, he said.
Is that true? Did Hitler say he had met the new man in some way?
For Pete's sake, no. Hobbin, he's Hobbin, Hobbin, Hagen, he's Hock Hagen, hey, Hock Hagen, he's Hock Hagen. Yeah, no, he didn't run around. If he did, the new man... He was the new man. That's what he spent all day, every day. He was trying to convince him that he was the man.
Exactly.
And that he was going to wipe out everything but the Chalkies. And the Chalkies was going to take over. And they had to be blonde-headed and blue-eyed. And then they'd go. And then they played with the twins. But I guess they had to get the twins. So when the Kaliakiukis was going to come in and impregnate the children, I guess it was a menage a trois, so they liked the twins to play with it, to live underground. If they,
who are the twins? Why are you mentioning the twins? What's that?
Well, that's the big, huge thing that the Germans are famous for, was playing with twin genetics.
Oh. How'd they do with that?
Well, is everybody blonde-haired and blue-eyed?
No.
Uh-oh. Then the Aryans must not have fared too well.
Okay, here we go.
He's talking about the Aryan race, but then he's speaking about the Aryans, and they were these Martians. But then he turns around and talks about the Germans supported the Aryan race, which weren't the Martians. Well, either the Aryans are the Martians or they ain't. And if they are, then you don't have to convince the humans that they're the Aryans if the Aryans are the Martians. And if the Martians are the Aryans, then you don't have to convince the humans that they're separate from everybody else. And if they're separate from everybody else, then the Third Reich should have fared a little better, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, some people think the Third Reich did take over the Pentagon through Project Paperclip and are doing well today.
Well, congratulations. No wonder the Obama nation got him a Peace Prize so they didn't shoot at him.
And they received all of their technology, the Bell technology, which was a mercury, spinning mercury, which powered the UFOs. Mm-hmm. They received all of that stuff from the Aryans.
Mm-hmm.
They had contacted them and told them what to do, where to go, what, and that's how the Nazis from 1930 to 1945 did the most astonishing advances ever in human history. They invented the laser, UFOs, they invented radar, they invented, there's so many things, television, so many things that it's ridiculous.
Okay, did the Nazis invent all those things?
Well, so if the Nazis invented the UFOs, why are they UFOs?
Well, it's a
they'd
slang
be
term.
German flying objects, so they'd be GFOs.
Right, but let's say that he's referring to objects that people know as UFOs. Did the Germans invent IFOs?
Well, they did play with all kinds of technologies, but we've done voluminous hours on how they hit those different pinpoints of aha moments in their technology, Bob. I mean, but you know, but I guess all that goes out the window, and you got to give it to the divas and to the chalkies that figured it all out and drug all this technology from Mars, which is is not a hospitable planet. That they've been come to over here to screw with you, so you can find out how not significant you are as human creators too. So, but see, they had this great reign from 1930 to 1945, and then what?
With their great inventions. Well, I guess the Aryans took back the technology.
Oh, the Chalkies took it back?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Okay, Boy, I tell you one thing, Agatha Christie would tear this plot to pieces. I'll guarantee you that.
You've done lots of hours with me on the Nazis privately. Could you sum up what got transferred to the Pentagon from that period by the Project Paperclip?
We almost don't even want to confound and stir any of that into this, Bob.
Okay, Harry.
It'd be like planting your begonias in poison oak. You wouldn't want to pick the flowers.
Mixing chocolate with feces.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Don't get that started. That may be coming next. So hang on.
No group of people could ever do that, but they did it. And by the way, you know, this was all being financed by the Rothschilds and England and America, including George Bush, Bush's grandfather.
That's right.
And it's right, and it's all coming out of Skull and Bones. And Skull and Bones has a number, a secret number that no one knows what it means. And the number is 322.
Huh.
Yeah, well, 322, it's quite obvious. It's the first day of Aries. Okay,
oh.
Aries is Mars. Mars is March. March is the only planet that's our only month that's named after a planet.
Huh.
And all alchemy begins in Aries.
Wow.
So these are the alchemists, and these are the high magicians, and these are the Great White Brotherhood. Kut Humi, who talked to Blavatsky, was an Aryan. You could go on and on.
And then,
the king of the world, according to the Tibetans, lives in an underground city
named Shambhala underneath the Himalayas, and he's chalk white.
And then, of course, we know, this is common knowledge, that we brought over all the Nazi scientists through Project Paperclip and installed them in high positions, including, I think, the top of NASA.
Well, absolutely they did. And Wernher von Braun told Carol Rose and his paramour, you know, right near his death, he said, you'll see, in the end they'll say all of this was caused by the aliens. And he started laughing.
Wow.
Okay, listen. Let's see. Where you had, I know of Carol Rosen. What was the relationship she had with Wernher von Braun? Let's get some interesting stuff here. She was his paramour. Do you agree with that?
With benefits, yes.
And what were the benefits?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
Well, the
benefits, what does that mean?
Well, Aryan legacy. She got access to Aryan technologies. That transportation to Mars.
Sleeping with him.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I mean. So that's what you're calling a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But what did she believe? Okay, so he's saying a little earlier, he said the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. By the way, this is all being financed by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, including George Bush's grandfather. Ed, is he saying that ironically? That's a front for the Aryans, or they actually were Aryans? Do you know what he's saying in that point? See, he said no group of people could ever do that, but they did it. And by the way, this is all being financed by the Rothschilds.
Right. Well, he's saying the financing was coming from the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Bush family.
Well, why would they need? Why would the Aryan and the Illuminati need financing since they had it all covered anyway?
See there, Bob. I told you it was them New York Jews come to screw up everything. That's what it was. That's right. Blame it on the New York Jews. That's what you got to do.
So he means that seriously. He's not saying that ironically, saying that the idea of the Rockefellers is a distraction from the real hidden people, the Aryans. That's not what he's getting at.
Somebody had to plant a lot of trees so they'd have enough ships to build in the 60,000-year cycle, Bob.
Well, the reference was that they invented the laser, UFOs, radar, television, and so they would need money to finance the creation of these technologies.
Well,
why didn't they just sell the technologies for money? So the point of inventing television was so everybody could have a boob tube, wasn't it? Did they give them out for free, or did they have to pay for them? Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Right, but this is for the development stage, the creation of the TVs before they sold them.
If the divas give it to them, what did they have to develop?
Okay. Absolutely. In fact, all the German... is there any connection between the Aryans and the German Aryans that were involved with one of the world wars? Absolutely. In fact, all the German Nazis were obsessed with the lore of the people lived under the earth. And Hitler even told people that he had met the new man, the Aryan, that he is terrible, he said. And this is where they received all of their technology, Bell technology, which is the spinning mercury which powered UFOs. So the Aryans gave technology to the Nazis. They received all that stuff from the Aryans. They had contacted them and told them what to do, where to go. And that's how the Nazis from 30-45 did all the astonishing stuff. So many things that it's ridiculous. Doesn't mean it's ridiculous they did it. It's ridiculous that they did it. Okay, so many things that it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that they did so much, but they had help. No group of people could ever do that, but they did it. And then their finance. They didn't do it. They were just given to it by the Aryans. Isn't that what he's saying?
We have... Ooh.
Yeah, there's a little hard... That's right. It's all coming out of Skull and Bones. And Skull and Bones is a number, a secret number that no one knows what it means. And the number is 322.
They start screwing with 322, and they get on Bob's chart, and you think they've been troubled up until now. You get tangled up in Bob's chart, and if you didn't know, you really won't know. That's for sure. Tell them, Bob.
Yeah. Well, 322, it's quite obvious. It's the first day of Aries. Aries is a Mars. Mars is March. March is the only month that's named after a planet. And alchemy begins in Aries. And Lance goes, wow.
Yeah, this is sort of a theory of everything. You take all of these different conspiracies and put them into one package, and this explains all of it.
Yeah, one noun. So these are the alchemists. These are the high magicians. These are the Great White Brotherhood.
Cordes Why you got to be a magician if somebody's giving it to you for free?
And it's all this technology to lead to the wonderful embarkation and exit.
To cut the trees down to build a spaceship to get back to Mars and live underground so you can survive the destruction of this planet. Only for 100 years. Because the planet is regrown and new animals and new plants and new forests comes back.
So you come back and then give the technology to the local humans again.
So
and then blow it up.
60,000 year cycle. If the big shots come back, but they may just send their hirelings. Or is that the space Jews? Or is that now wait a minute. Now is it the divas? Are the Aryans? Are the managers is supposed to be in charge of this now? Because Bob, if you're not careful, somebody's gonna go union on them, and then it's gonna go downhill.
According to the Tibetans, I live in an underground city named Shambhala, underneath the Himalayas, and they're chalk white. Wait, is there a Shambhala ion?
Not what he's calling Shambhala. No.
Okay. And then he talks about bringing a paperclip, install them in high positions, the top of mass. And then he goes into Warner, Braun, Braun, Carol Rosen. And listen, though, there's more than just that. It's been pretty much proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that the entire bottom third of South America was given over to the Nazis at the end of World War II. And that was their country. And they owned both sides, Chile and Argentina. You like that, Ian? Did that happen?
Well, I guess if everybody was already in bondage, they didn't seem to mind.
Okay, here we go.
Now, listen, though, there's more than just that. It's been pretty much proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that the entire bottom third of South America was given over to the Nazis at the end of World War II. I mean, mm-hmm. that was their country, and they owned both sides, Chile and Argentina,
wow.
and they ran them. Pinochet was their puppet. And so, and if you ever got close to anything that they were doing in the mountains, you were disappeared.
Wow.
In Argentina, thousands and thousands of people were disappeared. Hikers would get near these Nazi facilities where they were building these huge craft, and they would disappear. And if you look at Jacques Vallée's work on where UFO sightings and where they are and how many there have been and all of that, which he did copious work for 30 years, you'll find that 75% of UFO sightings are in the bottom third of South America. I think you can almost see him waving out the windows.
Jeez.
See you later, suckers.
Wow. Well, what in the heck are we going to do about all this? What can
well,
be done?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We don't know.
We don't know.
That's a quote from you, Bob.
Yeah, we don't know. You never get nothing. You can't find out. When you finally find out thanks to Jay Weider, you can't do anything about it. You're cooked.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Okay, well.
That was when they said that the end of the Kali Yuga was coming, according to these ancient texts.
Uh-huh.
And I think that they found out by deciphering the long count calendar in the late 1880s
uh-huh.
that there may be a chance that it isn't 2442, but it's 2012.
Yeah.
And so they hit the pedal to the metal and created the 20th century and got out of Dodge. And they're up there, but there may still be 400 years left. Their number system definitely says 2442.
Wait a minute. Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, ah, ooh. Thrill to you.
Bing, bing, bing.
Okay, so that's great. That's perfect. So what he's saying is, if we get this now, please know we're humble, non-physical here. We just holding on by the skin of JW's teeth. That's all we can hang on by. So if 2012 is when it's over and the divas and the Shambhalas and the Aryans going to go wipe it all out, and then 2442 is when it's supposed to get straightened back up, you got time to destroy all of creation, have it reforested, new lines of critters running around the planet so you could gather and hunt and eat and survive. So by the 2442, you've had time for everything to be restored so you can start the process all over again. Maybe that's maybe that's why they put the blue bins out everywhere and tell people to recycle. Because it's only a few hundred years till you get to start it all over again, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're on a pattern there. It's useful.
Oh, well, good. We're so thankful for our listening audience that they're going to get something useful out of this.
Yeah, this final few words gives us a little hope. Okay, so we will continue here. Just a few minutes left.
It's a big mystery that we're all trying to uncover and figure out. It's very interesting, very interesting. The entire number system that these people use have been using since they arrived here is a higher dimensional or a hyperdimensional number system.
Mm.
And there's only three places on Earth that the architecture that we've looked at. No, there's many places on Earth that use their numerical system, this hyperdimensional numerical system.
Mm-hmm.
But the three places on Earth that have it the most are Giza, the Great Pyramid of Giza, Stonehenge, and the U.S. Capitol.
Huh.
And I'm talking about knowledge that no one knows about, that
wow.
would have been almost, you would think, nearly impossible for the guys that built the U.S. Capitol to know, yet they did.
Okay, and how did the guys who built the U.S. Capitol really do it?
They must have been real smart. Maybe it was them Aryans doing rectal probing that got it all figured out.
So, yeah, in this context, you're not going to...
Nobody can get it, and they got it. Nobody can do it, and they did it. It's only three places on the planet, so... You know what? There's been a bit of a problem here. The Lemurians may come eat the ass of them Aryans because they're leaving all the lizard people out of all the fun because they was already underground. And then you got the Ra'i may come in and smoke some of them as they're kind of coming along here.
Yeah, the Lemurians, the actual people, the lizards. The Lemurians actually do have a lot of influence through these ages and eons, and yeah, they're going to be a little...
Not with them divas, they don't.
And who are the divas? Aretha
we
Franklin?
Have no flipping idea.
Not Aretha Franklin.
Well, she's a diva, but she ain't Aryan, so she's out of luck. She's SOL. She can't get it. That's why she wants some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. You ain't giving it to me, because I ain't Aryan enough for thee. So what you going to... Hey, yeah. Oh, sorry. That's at least a little diversion. So. Sorry. We normally are genteel and kind, but law.